This is one of these moments when you think it might be best just to be quiet before the Lord, fix our eyes on the cross, and respond in our hearts because of what the Lord has done on our behalf. Thank you for this great honor and privilege to be a part of this service today. Kent Pine, in a characteristically understated British expression, well done indeed. Thank you for allowing me the privilege to worship with you the greatness of our God. I rejoice with you in God's direction and providence. And though the Pierponts have been with you now for a few weeks, tonight is kind of that official launch of ministry. And praise the Lord for his goodness. He has brought you a wonderful senior pastor and wife and family. To perpetuate the greatness of ministry that you have enjoyed here at Evangel for years. And what a delight to see the Graves this morning and to reflect on their faithfulness in service for the Lord. They are wonderful models of ministry commitment and continue to be in a challenging ministry today. Pray for them. Their wisdom and experience is just what the church where they're ministering right now needs. And God bless you for your sacrifice and energy. I referred to Pastor Grafe this morning as Caleb. He is in ministry. And I say thank you to you as a church family for your friendship with our associations of churches. On behalf of Ken and Sharon and the Michigan Association, thank you so much for your active participation and involvement in leadership. Evangel has always been a leader. And in our national fellowship, influencing churches across the country and around the world, thank you for your involvement. Thank you for your interest in the Baptist Bulletin, our association magazine. Thank you even for being one of the largest purchasers of regular Baptist press material out of all of our customer base of better than 10,000 independent Baptist churches across the country. Evangel just rises right up to the top of that list. Thank you for your involvement. Thank you for your participation in Talents for Christ and our youth activities and ministries and camps and chaplaincy and gospel literature services. There's so much to say, and you folks deserve so much credit. Thank you for your faithfulness. This is a day in which we are thinking together about leadership, particularly this morning about servant leadership. And to have stand to their feet just a few moments ago, the deacons and wives who serve as kind of poster servants for the church. Not simply static pictures to hang on the wall, but active servants of the Lord committed to your lives and your needs by God's enablement and God's grace. You reflect back over your life. If you've been a part of this church or another church for some time, and just ask yourself if God would bring to mind kind of the quintessential deacon. Do you see a face right now that epitomizes what a deacon really is. I'd like to see if this morning, for a few minutes, I could show you from the pages of Scripture one of those quintessential poster deacons. Open your Bibles for a few moments to the book of Philemon. Philemon. Now, I'll tell you right up front, Philemon is not identified as a deacon, but certainly in his life, he epitomizes the value set and activities of a deacon. And there may be reason to believe that he was, in fact, a deacon. Philemon is a little tiny book. It's right in front of the book of Hebrews and right after the pastoral epistles of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. And sandwiched right in there between is this little personal letter. I'll remind you of the real heart of this letter. A layman, a businessman, apparently fairly prosperous, by the name of Philemon, had an employee. Because of the time and the setting, he would be called a slave. That employee's name was Onesimus. He had an obligation to work for his employer. But for some reason, he went AWOL. He just took off. We don't know what happened, whether he also took with him some of his master's money, but certainly he broke a contract. In God's providence, he crossed paths with the Apostle Paul. And Paul, as he so often did, took this young runaway in and had the privilege of pointing him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This young man's life was turned around. He probably had a period of time of mentoring him. In the process of this former, now runaway slave, former unsaved individual named Onesimus, in the process of his spiritual development, there came that time when Paul said to him, Onesimus, you need to go back and make things right. Now, he did this under great threat. The possibility existed that he could be thrown in jail and even possibly executed. But Paul, watching this young man and gaining a confidence in his life, said, I am going to write a letter to Philemon because he is my personal friend. And I'm going to ask him if he would to take you back. Now, this little letter becomes a wonderful picture of reconciliation, of redemption, a picture of what Jesus Christ accomplished through his sacrifice, the forgiveness he extended, the ability to buy people back from the slave market of sin, and kind of woven all through the fabric of this little letter, those wonderful pictures and reminders and metaphors of God's redemption in Jesus Christ. But what I'd like to do with you today is just take a look at this man, Philemon. I think he epitomizes a genuine servant of the Lord, kind of a poster deacon, may provide for us a model of a way to approach the work of the Lord. Let me see if I can point some things out to you. For you deacons and wives, there is a primary message here today. But for all of us who serve the Lord, these insights become prompters for us in our work for the Lord. I want to encourage you to approach the role of a servant, approach the role of a deacon as a family ministry. Verses 1 and 2 of Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia. Now, we're not told this, but the language in the name indicates that this is a woman's name. There is reason to believe that Apphia was Philemon's wife. What a wonderful thing it is when a husband and a wife are committed to ministry together. It's just not the ideal, though it is possible, when there is a couple and only one senses an obligation to the Lord. What a wonderful ministry is created when a couple come together, each realizing their role and duty, and they say, together we're going to give ourselves to the work of the Lord. It was a delight on Friday evening in the banquet to be with the deacons and their wives. Yesterday morning in the training session to be with the deacons and the wives and to see Pastor Pierpont this morning call on both the deacons and the wives to stand. This is a package ministry. Certainly there's a leadership role that the man plays, but to see a man and a wife stand together in ministry and say, we're going to give ourselves to the service of the Lord, what a delight that is. And I encourage you as husbands and wives to serve the Lord together. Those of you who are not deacons and wives, in your marriage, do you see yourself as a couple, as a unit, serving the Lord? It's God's desire. And what wonderful ministry opportunities are opened when a couple serve together in that way, whether it's in an ABF class or with children in the Awana program or in Sunday school, whatever it might be, as a couple to serve the Lord, each giving sacrificially in ministry for the sake of others. It's not just a husband and a wife in this case. You read on here, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, very possibly his wife, Archippus, our fellow soldier. Archippus, quite likely, was Philemon and Apphia's son. Now, here's a family serving the Lord together. What a wonderful picture that is. A mom and a dad and a son or a daughter. What a wonderful picture sitting down here in the front row. What a joy for Ken and Lois to have a family that sees the value of ministry and to have the privilege to visit with Kyle and his wife and see them going on in the service of the Lord and what it means to be a third generation pastor or an eighth generation, and to know for Derry and me that our son and our daughter have gone on in the service of the Lord. Sons, daughters here today, your moms and dads are serving the Lord, hopefully. Do you see what they're doing? Are you learning from them? Are you saying, I want to follow in those footsteps? I'd like someday to be a deacon or a deacon's wife or a Sunday school teacher or a youth worker. I'd love to work with children. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I praise the Lord for the emphasis you've placed on a program like Talents for Christ, where you're grooming and developing young lives on for the service of the Lord, and you recognize the value of doing that. I spoke with a lovely young lady. She stopped by our table where Derry and I were sitting on Friday night, and her name was Rebecca, I believe, and she told me with she talked to us with just the joy of the Lord and the exuberance in her heart that she's going to Baptist Bible College next year. She wants to serve the Lord, possibly in youth ministry in the days that are ahead. What a delight that is. You have the opportunity in your families to sow seeds, moms and dads, of ministry contentment and ministry faithfulness. But I can tell you this, you can also in your family sow seeds of ministry discontentment. Where we hear over and over, oh man. Now, there's no perfect pastor. There's no perfect church. I mean, this is about as close to perfect as it gets, you know. I mean, this is a great ministry. And see, when we talk around our kids, when we talk about ministry, no, we don't just isolate them and make them think that there's never any problems or challenges, but even through the dark times, how do we talk about the service of the Lord? How do we talk about the pastoral staff? How do we talk about the whole church family? We're sowing seeds. Seeds of ministry contentment and faithfulness that may blossom in the future, but also conversely, we can sow seeds of ministry dissatisfaction and departure. Look at this family. A husband, a wife, a son. Talking about ministry in such a way that this son, according to the end of the book of Colossians, decides to go on into vocational ministry and he becomes a pastor. He's probably the pastor of this house right here, house church. And to the ministry that's in your home. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if in God's providence he chooses to take your child on into ministry to serve in Papua New Guinea? What a delight in missions. Approach the role not only as a family ministry, but also as a partnership activity. Look at the language that's used here. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend. Now, this is Paul, the pastor, the apostle, the missionary, referring to a lay person in ministry as his friend. You got a pastoral staff here. It's Pastor Jerry and Pastor Ken, Pastor Brian, and Pastor Pierpont. These are men who have unique responsibilities and assignments. You respect them in their leadership role and for their position. But what a wonderful relationship exists when you can also say, and they can say of you, that man is my friend. That doesn't mean you have to take vacations together. Okay? It might mean if you had tickets for a Michigan game that you'd say, well, why don't you come along with me? I understand that. It doesn't mean you have to do everything together all the time, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Jesus in John chapter 15 looked at the band of brothers seated around the table. Judas had now left, and he said, I call you my friends. I want you to know that you are my friends. I watched the reunion this morning with the Graves, and you know, that kind of reunion takes place because of years of faithful friendship, certainly pastoral ministry, but the hugs and the greetings and the reminders and the laughter and the tears and all of that. I just encourage you to continue that on. And deacons and wives, you set the tone. You have work to do. You have business to conduct. But don't ever lose sight of the relationships that exist in ministry. And through all of that, with your assignments, continue to be friends with each other. What a delight that is. Notice this also. To Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. You see the partnership that exists? You know, hey, pastor, okay, we hired you now. This is a one-man or a four-man show. You are getting paid to do the work of the ministry, so do it. Ah. Man, this has been tough being without a senior pastor for 30 months. Tracy. Oh, man. Now, I have been waiting for this day. Okay. No. Paul said, hey, this man is my fellow laborer. Pastor Pierpont, hey, I am so glad the Lord brought you here, but I want you to know, man, I'm going to be right by your side working with you. I am. And deacons and wives, you set the tone for the church. You remember the word is servant there. Hey, I'm going to serve with you. See, we're going to be fellow laborers together in the work of the Lord. Our beloved friend and fellow laborer to the beloved Apphia Archippus, our fellow soldier. Some of you have been in the military. You've been deployed. Some of you, maybe in the recent conflict, have been deployed to the Middle East, and you know how painful it is and difficult to be far, far away from those you love, your family and your friends, and how difficult it is. And there's a sense of longing to be reunited. And yet in the military, something extraordinary happens. There truly is this band of brothers, this brotherhood. I mean, the training is such that they bring you together. You care about the person next to you. You look after. Hey, you can go because I got you covered, man. You know, you're going to go out there. You just, hey, man. Something happens. Nobody's left behind. We will go back and get you. And you hear these guys, the interviews, and sometimes they've been wounded, and They agonize over being away from their family, but it's time to go home, and there's a sense of, I don't know if I want to leave my fellow soldiers behind. And now you think, because Ken had us singing about it, the battle we're in the work of the Lord. We have to see ourselves, not in a jihad sense, because that's totally inappropriate, but in this brotherhood, fighting against the arch enemy Satan himself. And there needs to be that, oh, I got you covered. Notice this partnership activity also at the end of verse 2. And to the church in your house. Imagine that. We got this wonderful building and these facilities here, and thank the Lord for that. But some of you are such servants that you say, hey, come into my home. Let me give you food from my refrigerator, sit in my chair, and if the circumstances are such, you know, you can come and stay with us for a period of time. Some of you have done that type of thing. You host groups in your home. Not everybody's able to do that, but do you see the attitude? It's an openness and a willingness that says what's mine is yours, and we're in this together, and come on. A partnership activity. And then this, in verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. For a pastor to be able to just kind of in his mind look over the deacons, and just in this moment of privacy and transparency and confidentiality, just picture every one of those individuals and genuinely, honestly be able to say, I thank my God for that man and his wife. Now, I'll just tell you what sometimes happens. In those moments, you picture some people and you say, man, I am not very thankful for that person. That's not good. Okay. But here's Paul looking at Philemon, far removed, but in his mind, he's seeing his face and he says, oh, I thank the Lord always for you. Deacons and wives, it's not that you're just trying to do it to please other people, but what a delight it is when you can bring joy to the heart of your pastoral staff, and they can, in that confidential part of their minds, say, oh, I thank the Lord that you're a deacon in this church and working with me. The Apostle Paul had a band of brothers serving with him. People like Philemon, but look in verses 23 and 24. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner. Can you imagine that? There he is, together with Epaphras, just right there. It's not because they were thrown in jail for doing something terrible. It was because of their commitment to the Lord and proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. And they found themselves in jail. And there was somebody by his side, a fellow prisoner. In Christ Jesus greet you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. And here you are ticking off the names of the deacons and their wives, and say, man, we are a band of brothers a partnership. And I encourage you to approach this position, first of all, as a family ministry and then as a partnership activity, but also as a service opportunity. Verse 5, I'll read verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Love and faith toward God. People of deep conviction and passion for God. That's where it starts. That's where it must be to begin. A vertical relationship with God. Loving God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then Jesus says this. And to love your neighbor as yourself. Out of that priority, passionate relationship toward God grows this service to other. You know, there are some people who have deep convictions to truth. And yet somehow those deep convictions have not translated into a movement toward other people. Ideally speaking, it is both this way and also this way. Loving God and loving my neighbor. Philemon was that kind of man. Hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Translate your convictions and your beliefs, your loyalty to God and to his word into service toward others. Notice the language that is used here in verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. What wonderful language that is. Just the, on a frigid, cold winter day, when it's like this, to walk into the warmth of this building. Oh, how good it feels. The warmth of relationship. On a hot, hot, blistering, hot summer day to walk into an air-conditioned facility. Ah, the refreshment that comes. What you feel there is replicated sometimes in the lives of people who have that kind of refreshing aura about them. I mean, there are some people you get around and you just like, or, oh, but there are other people who are just like, years ago, Coke had a slogan that said, the pause that refreshes. You remember those glass bottles? Haven't seen them for a long time. And just the moisture on the outside running down and the head tilted back like this. And, oh. You ask yourself, what am I like with people? When people are around me, do they just... Or do they, is it like, oh, I'm uptight all the time, and you get home and you're going, oh, my goodness. Here's Philemon. The hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Look at verse 21 in terms of a service opportunity. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Wow, what a deacon. Here's your deacon care assignment. Wow. You know, we've seen it, Bill. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to look after. But there's that deacon that comes up and says, hey, Bill, I'll do this, and if you've got anything else that needs doing, I'm your man. Wow. Philemon was that kind of guy with Paul. knowing that this was a man who obeyed, who responded to instruction, who responded to request, and said, you know, I'm not going to just do it halfway. I'm going to do it all the way, and I'm going to do it more. Because that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ approached service. Sometimes late into the night, people would come to him. It's okay. I'll give. And I'll give. And I'll give again. Verse 22. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me. Whoa, how about that? Man, a prophet's chamber. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to have people come and stay in your home, but to extend hospitality and provide care. And you did that for the Greenings and the Floyds this weekend, and we are forever grateful. You gave us some moments of downtime to relax and rest and be refreshed. You ministered to us. Thank you for what you have done. I encourage you to do that periodically for your pastors and wives. And to extend that kind of hospitality toward others, what a delight it is when you do that. Hospitality is true, genuine Christianity in action. It is. And then notice this in verse 22. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Here was a deacon, if he was, that had a regular prayer life on behalf of the servants of the Lord and the ministry. He prayed. He prayed. He prayed for the work of the Lord. Deacons and wives, do you do that? This ministry deserves it. Pray for the Grafes in their continuing ministry. Pray for Pastor Pierpont and Lois. Pray for Pastor Ken and his family. Some are away in school. Pray for them. Care for them. Pray for Pastor Jerry and his family. Pray for Pastor Brian. Pray and just pray for this ministry. God will respond in a great way. There it is. Posters up on the wall. Maybe in God's providence, your picture might be there. In somebody's mind when they think of the quintessential servant of the Lord. Father, thank you for these pictures and lessons. May we serve you faithfully. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.